are here this afternoon with the vintager, the one and only Jeff Eller. And I thought since Valentine's Day was upon us, we'd do a little history. What are we going to talk about, vintager Jeff?
We're going to talk about a little aspects of Valentine's Day most people don't talk about. A little bit of the history, a little bit of the practicality, and a little bit of the nostalgia for the older Valentine sentiment prior to 1980.
Okay. I was afraid when he said they were going to talk about the things that nobody talks about. But anyways, I'm glad we're going to be talking about what we're talking about this afternoon. I'm Ann Eller. Coming up in just a minute, the vintager Jeff Eller on Valentine's. We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Right here on WCRS. How you doing today, Jeff?
Pretty good, Ann.
We are going to do a little history of Valentine's Day with the vintager Jeff Eller. I thought a lot of people, we think about the Valentine's Day of today, but we don't think about the Valentine's Day of old. So who better to talk about it than the vintager himself, Jeff? How you doing?
Yeah, since I was there to see it, huh?
That's right.
All right.
Okay, good to have you here, Jeff.
Okay, Valentine's Day has always been kind of one of those interesting holidays that weren't official holidays that have always been around. They've been around for one form or another for about 4,000 years.
4,000? I thought it was St. Valentine back in...
Well, that was the Catholic Church appropriating one of the Roman festivities of the fauna, which is, means animal mating.
And, Jeff, TMI.
We'll get to that, but it actually started in Mesopotamia, and Mesopotamia is one of the first places that had lover's oils.
Think
about that.
All right.
The hot baths with the oil rub downs and things. It's quite exquisite.
Wow.
And Valentine's in those days had a very practical notion.
Okay.
You bred your animals in a period of time to where the calves and things would be born in a time when there was a fecundity of things to feed them.
Okay.
And humans were born in a time when the harvest was in and everybody would have been available to do the hard work of skinning, planting, whatever, and the harvest was in. And people don't realize that the concept of leisure time actually had its ebbs and flows throughout history. The Egyptians, Mesopotamians had leisure time. The Greeks had leisure time. Not all classes of the Greeks, not all classes of the Egyptians, but educated and upper-end classes had leisure time. Leisure time kind of...
I guess we're not in the upper class, are we?
Oh, no. The concept of leisure time diminished in the Middle Ages. One of the concepts that was left over from Greek and Roman times was the siesta.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
The siesta actually started with the Mesopotamians, went to the Egyptians, went to the Iranians, the Persians, and then it moved into the Roman Empire. The Romans incorporated everything that was good.
Now, the Romans incorporated everything that was good.
They were smart.
Yeah.
They lasted 1,000 years. Much more than any other civilization since then.
How are we doing? How are we doing here in the United States of America? That's political. Don't go there today.
We're worrisome.
Worrisome, yes, there you go.
But one of the things that every civilization that had the ability to write, wrote about, was the concept of love. It was unexplainable then as much as it is now. So the Greeks, being very practical, tried to come up with an explanation of why somebody spontaneously would fall in love with somebody they just saw, just met, just talked to, just heard of. Mm-hmm. And they came up with a god, Cupid.
Wow. Okay.
Now, Cupid was 800 B.C., the Mycenaean Greeks. And one of the biggest things of Cupid was Helen of Troy.
Mm.
Yeah. Paris and Helen of Troy. The wars that were fought over that, the Trojan Wars. And then that concept passed right on down through the Romans. And Romans jumped on it in a minute. And it was combined with their feast in February, which was the ideal time for humans. And you got to remember, the Roman Empire was 80% slave. Yeah. So what do they like slaves to do? Produce more slaves. But they didn't want them to be producing slaves in the middle of summer when all the work was being done. The Romans were pretty much the same way we are today. So they came up with the, well, good time to breed slaves right now. So they just incorporated.
I'm sorry, that's kind of disgusting, Jeff.
Well,
I mean, you know.
Well, we don't have that now, so.
Okay. I just thought
we
I'd
just
say
have
that.
The belief of it now.
Yes. Okay.
And so that we have still the concept of people like the children born in the fall. Even today, the majority of kids are born in September and October.
That's why there's so many sapphire birthstones.
That's why there's so many sapphire birthdays.
Yep.
Yes, and it just went on from that. Now, the Catholic Church picked up on it because they needed something that was competing with the pagan festivals still. So if you weren't beating the pagans back in the 5th century, the way to beat them is to join them. So the Pope came out with joining the Roman festival with the Catholic name and made it after St. Valens, St. Valentine. And Valentine's Day was born. It was from then on, it was going to be February the 14th. And it's been February the 14th for 1,600 years now.
Wow. How about that?
And the concept of romance and things never went away. And by the way, the pagan god Cupid never left.
The pagan god Cupid never left.
Never left.
Pagan.
No
okay.
matter no matter how much the church railed against it, the pagan god Cupid was still around because they could not explain romantic love. Never has been explained. Been tried for thousands of years. So now they moved right on up on romantic love, and they believed that, you know, that children born after the harvest were particularly blessed. Families were particularly blessed. And
why
people
was that
don't
after
realize.
The, after the harvest, meaning born when?
In September, October.
Okay.
People don't realize that, you know, just because it's, people would like to get married in a church doesn't mean a darn thing if there's no churches. So there would be a certain time of the year where people could get together to be anointed as a marriage. And one of the things that made the marriage a contract was children. And even in the Far East, they have a particular day that they acknowledge of being a, not a Valentine's Day, but more matrimonial day, which was like the 18th of February. All the days were in February. And that's from Neolithic times, right up to the day. Now, the concept of Valentine's cards also, people say, well, it started in the 1840s with Hallmark and some of the other ones. No, no, no. It started much, much before that. The concept of handing somebody a ribbon, female to male, was a big deal. And the male handed or sent the lady of his desires a glove. And the symbolism of the glove is quite dominant. The idea you're not a single glove means nothing. It's only good if you're matched.
Ah, okay.
Kind of neat.
Well, I was just thinking about, are you going to Scarborough Fair?
Well, kind of. But the gloves became a gift for Valentine's Day.
Gloves. A glove or a pair of gloves?
Pair of gloves, of course. Okay. I mean, it morphed.
Okay.
By the time Queen Victoria was queen, the standard gift of attention, shall we say, was a box of gloves. And the glove boxes were quite ornate then. But then it still kept right on morphing until the idea was it's a lot cheaper to send a card than to send a pair of leather gloves.
Yes.
And so that caught on pretty quick, as soon as they could mass produce and mass print cards. And the concept of printing in two colors just finished it off. But the early cards, the concept of scrapbooking was strong back then. You added a piece of personal lace to your Valentine's card.
Wow.
And it was one of the few times that it was applicable for a young lady to send a correspondence, unsolicited correspondence to a male.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And we've got some antique cards here, and they reflect all the things that we're now discussing.
Yeah, these are really neat because they've got movable parts on them. I think that's one of the things that makes them so neat. And even look at this one right here. This one says, "Hands up, I'm a bobbed hair bandit and the game to the limit. For gold I care not, not a rap quick. Your heart is all that's in it." And it shows a little girl with a mask over her eyes, and then the little boy has got the heart, and it says in the middle, "Reward for bandit who steals hearts," and it moves back and forth.
And his eyes blink, and the whole deal.
Yeah.
The thing is, Valentine's cards in the 20s and 30s, in the early part of the century of the 20th century, the early 1900s, they weren't inexpensive.
Like, probably not, because there was, and particularly ones that had been printed like this. I mean, these are printed, but they're like little works of art here, folks.
Well, they are little works of art, and you didn't have a run of a million. You had runs of 10 or 12,000, and they changed the designs, and they had like hundreds of people there designing these cards, and these motion cards have never left, but nowadays a motion card, and I was looking online a few weeks ago, a motion card for Valentine's cards, you're talking $20 and up.
Wow. We got a fortune here, Jeff.
Well, we have a unique grouping. I think all of them are works of art, and the sentiments are actually sentiments.
Yeah, that's true.
Nothing gross or
outlandish.
Oh, some of the ones that people are sending as internet cards, my God.
This one says, it shows a little boy with he's at a dictaphone, I think. It looks like an office chair, and it says, "I hate to dictate to you, but tell me, dear, are you true?"
I mean, the originality and thought that had to go behind that, you know, it had to be a composite of that day in that era.
Yeah.
And most of them are stand-up cards.
Yeah,
you're right.
They do. Yeah. If only this were you and me, how awfully happy we would be.
Well, the internet has hurt the concept of mailing a nice card or giving a nice card to somebody. And of course, the internet's hurt the whole idea of social interchange. But I certainly hope this is something that doesn't go away.
Yeah.
The cards are still something I consider pretty special.
Look at this pirate with the sword, and the sword moves.
I mean, all of them are neat. If anybody wants to stop by and look at Ann's collection of ancient and old cards, we got them all the way back to the 1840s, and they started making them in the 1840s. They never really changed the concept and design of Valentine's cards all the way up until the 70s.
Wow. They are pretty awesome. We'll post a few pictures on Facebook here while we're hearing the news and a word from our sponsors. Are you going to be able to stay with us a little longer and inspire us with more knowledge, Mr. Vintager?
Sure.
Okay. We'll be right back. Don't you go away. Yes.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're here with the Vintager this afternoon on Meet Me at the Diner. Well, I was just looking through some of these Valentines. I just want to read you the wording on these, and then the Vintager is going to tell us some more about Valentine's Day. And Emerald is just in the process or has uploaded some pictures. We took some pictures of some of the old ones we have here. This one says, "Be my Valentine," and it's a daisy, and the little girl's head is in the center of the daisy, and you open it up, and it's small. It's like maybe 2 inches by 2.5 inches big. "Be my Valentine, or I'll go crazy. You're all I want, for you're a daisy." That's a cute one. This one here shows a girl holding hearts, and it's in the shape of a heart. That's the other thing that makes these expensive, because they're all cut out in shapes. They're not just standard fold-over cards. And it has a heart with some lace and some flowers and everything on it. Very pretty. And it says, "I made a little Valentine, all lovely lace and colors fine. I thought of you to send it to. Sweetheart, will you be mine?"
Wow.
Wow. And that one's about 4 inches by maybe 3 inches. So, again, none of these are standard size. This is the last one I'm going to read. It's just a little heart shape, and it shows a little boy sitting on the ground. And he's got a bowl that he is blowing bubbles with. And in the bubble is this pretty little girl. And it says, "Pretty bubbles in the air. Bubbles make a pretty showing till they burst and disappear. But no bubbles I am blowing when I say, I love you, dear."
What?
I mean, I think I might have to rap to that one, folks. I might have to put that to a rap right there. That was pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, they were all cool.
And different themes. Like this one shows two, a little girl and a little boy dressed in vintage swimsuits.
Yeah.
The swim cap and the daisy on the side of the swim cap. And it says, "Am I in the swim? ? I want you for my Valentine and hope that you will not decline. For I am as sure as I can be, we'd get along just swimmingly." And that, again, that's another one. That's probably about 2.5 inches by 2 inches wide and shows a cute little couple holding hands in the right there by the pool.
You know, the idiosyncrasy of this thing is that the place where we got those, they would all throw those out and sell the damn box that they were in. Box was a neat box.
Right.
But I wanted the Valentine's. I didn't care about the box. We ended up buying the box just because.
And these are all I'm going to use the word, used Valentine's. They're all signed.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
About half of them are from a gal to a guy, and the other half are from guys to girls.
This one was...
all out of the same family, though.
This was to Mrs. Haley Borman, I think,
right,
from Brooklyn, New York. And it shows a little girl and a little boy. It's a postcard, and it's the heart is in between, and they're pulling on the heart, and it says, "To my Valentine, don't take my heart unless I have yours." It's a postcard. It's stamped on the other side, and it says, "Dear sister, hope you are well. We are pretty well out this way. Love to all, Catherine and Frank," I think it says. Yep. So that was a postcard, and that was a small postcard. You know, that's the small,
right,
4.5 by 3.5 or whatever it was. Yeah.
But it was a time that people could show sentiment.
Yes.
I mean, nowadays we show a lot of things, but not sentiment.
Well,
we
that's
show
true.
Anger. We show peevishness. We show small-mindedness, lack of civility, but not sentiment.
And we know how to throw shade.
Oh, my God. You know, one of the earliest writings that recognized Valentine's Day was of course, Chaucer and his Pilgrimage Chronicles, mm-hmm, Canterbury Tales.
Right.
It mentioned it, but there was mentions in almost all royal documents going back in English history.
Yeah, well, I mean, you just think, when you think of Valentine's Day, you think of romance.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you think of. Today, it has changed. It's about the gift giving and the exchange and this type of thing. And, of course, we here at Sharp Facets, we want the gift exchange.
Well, one of the things that back in the 1800s, the chocolatiers found that combining chocolate with a tradition, sold a lot of chocolates. So first was Valentine's. Long before there was chocolate Easter eggs or anything, there was chocolate candy for Valentine's Day.
Well,
it was
neat.
The first commercialization of a holiday.
Now, who commercialized it?
Actually, a Cadbury in England.
The Valentine's candy?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, but would you consider that commercialized Valentine's Day in general? Or was there some other body that was involved in the commercialization, like Tiffany's or something?
No, not really.
Like,
I mean, the chocolates, the Whitman sampler here in the United States became the gift of the rigueur for Valentine's Day. And the Whitman sampler in those days was in a box that was made of wood and covered by a cloth that was a resemblance of a sampler. And long after the chocolate was gone, the people used a box for everything from a sewing box to keeping memorabilia like these cards.
You know, it was nice when things were like that, wasn't it?
Certain amount of nostalgia is always good.
That's true. That's true. Makes you remember and to be part of something.
Well, people decry nostalgia nowadays as something, everything from racism to anti-round worlders, but nostalgia has a place.
Absolutely. I was just looking through the cards here. It shows this cute little girl with a big blue bow in her hair, two hearts on the front. She's got blonde hair, and she's got her head kind of coyly put to the side, and it says, "I'm very shy by nature, but love has made me brave. Oh, won't you give this question the answer that I crave? Will you be my Valentine?"
Hey! That was from a time when the gals never made the original move, supposedly.
Yep,
of course, I don't believe that. That was a myth. There was never a time when they didn't make the original move.
That's true. Kind of like the time that gal sang to you and in your school.
Oh, yeah. One of the dumber things I ever did. I had a young lady on Valentine's Day sing me a song. And
what song did she sing?
I'm not saying.
I love you truly, truly I do.
Well, in front of my friends, I was embarrassed, so I laughed at her efforts. And I was looking back at them when she slugged me.
Caught you right in the right place. Knocked you down.
She hit me right on the jawline, knocked me up on top of my desk. And the teacher at that time was a retired naval commander. This was in the 1950s. And he walked by me and says, "You'll learn finesse, Mr. Eller."
Never laughed again, did you?
But today, you know, everybody would be at a principal's office, probably making a big deal of it. He just let me lay up on top of that desk so I could slide off and get in the seat.
Oh, well.
Okay. Oh, well.
A learning experience for you, Jeff.
Oh, it was a big learning experience. That learning curve closed right up there quick.
That's right. Okay. Well, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll come back. We're talking about Valentine's here with the vintager, the one and only Jeff Eller from right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. You know, one of the things that Jeff loves to do, he loves the research. He loves checking out things. And that's why we call him the vintager, because he is fascinated and has really spent a lifetime finding out about items, whether they are truly unique or not so unique. And one of the ways that he finds out about them is through all the catalog collections that we have bought over the years from here at Sharp Facets Gallery. If you'd like some help figuring out what you have, if you'd like some values on some things that you have, what do you got to do? You got to come see us here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We're still here on the 72 bypass. We're not moving anywhere for at least probably a month now, so you got plenty of time to get in and see us. You ought to pick up that phone, give us a call, schedule a time to sit down and talk with the vintager about some of your vintage treasures. Hey, we'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Does this make sense? We buy your gold, diamonds, jewelry, coins, sterling silver at the highest prices, paying extra for fine jewelry and quality, and we're always buying your diamonds and colored stones too. But we sell at the lowest prices, from diamonds to gemstone jewelry to sterling silver pieces and antique and estate jewelry. Always lowest prices for quality jewelry. See us today, Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. Those were the days, my friend. We hoped they'd never end. That's right. Here we are with the vintager this afternoon. I just found another really sweet card here, Jeff, in our stack. It says, "My Valentine," and it shows a little girl with a real pretty pink little dress sitting in a heart and a guy leaning over the fence, and he's saying, "I'd like to be your Valentine that you can plainly see, for not another little girl is quite so dear to me."
Like I said, sentiment counted.
Yep, exactly. So, you know, we were going to talk a little bit more about Valentine's Day. I do want to say, before the vintager gets started, your Valentine headquarters right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We have the best selection of diamond hearts at fantastically low price. We've got diamond earrings, colored stones, rubies, sapphires, amethyst, you name it, vintage jewelry, and, of course, a great selection of diamonds. And lots of other items here that are great for Valentine's Day, too. And don't forget, if you'd like some roses, you got to check out Roses over there. Roses Designer Flowers over there at 447 Calhoun Avenue. She's got a special going on. A roses for $19.95, but you got to book it by Sunday. So pick up that phone, call Rose, 223-3034, 223-3034. She is open Monday through Friday, 10 to 5, or Monday through Saturday, excuse me, 10 to 5:30. And this Sunday, she's going to be open 1 to 5, so you can get in on this special. That's 223-3034. Please pick up the phone, order those roses, save yourself some money. They're beautiful roses, all kinds of possibilities of things to do at Designer Flowers by Rose. So, you were going to tell us a little bit more about vintage Valentines.
Well, the vintage Valentine, like I said, started in the late 800s and progressed right on up through medieval times and through modern times. But one of the other things that got associated with Valentine's Day was the giving of an engagement ring. And the concept of engagement ring actually started in much, much earlier than that. That's when kings and nobles and landowners betrothed a daughter to somebody, oftentimes right after she was born. Or
she didn't stand a chance. Is that what you're
telling
me?
Didn't stand a chance, and they would do a betrothal ring, and that would show that the arrangement had been made. There was no sense trying to up the ante and do a different thing. But the Romans had the idea of a prolonged engagement to get to know somebody type thing. And their early engagement
ring. Threw them together in the pit of love, right?
Yeah, in the pit of love. They're a little different.
Yeah.
Roman households, they didn't sleep in the same bed.
Okay.
They believed a marriage lasted longer if there was something special about it. You had to go to the next room. Well, anyhow.
Okay, moving on. We won't go there right now. It could be an interesting topic of discussion. Yes.
The Germanic areas were one of the first ones to come up with the independent engagement ring of people getting married in the 1600s type thing. And the early rings, the stones were not diamonds. They were rubies.
Because of the red ruby color?
And also the fact that rubies sold for a lot more than diamonds in those days and was considered a much more valuable stone.
Well, that was because the king gem was supposed to be a ruby in the crown jewels, correct?
Right.
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, quite frankly, the very, very top-grade rubies still sell for more than the very, very top-grade diamonds.
Sure.
And that lasted all the way from the 1600s up to the mid-1800s. Only in the mid-1800s did the diamonds become abundant enough. First, they came from Brazil, and then South Africa and India. The Indian diamond, of course, had been around for several thousand years, but they became commercially available when Britain literally colonialized India. But the concept of making it to Valentine's Day came when the jewelry houses of Europe started getting large enough to sell to the middle classes.
So before Valentine's Day, as it was really for the upper class and royalty?
Pretty much.
So if you were just a commoner, you didn't get to have the joy of Valentine's Day.
You didn't have much of a Valentine's Day.
Wow.
I mean, they had the whole thing where villages would get together with other villages so there wouldn't be that much interbreeding of human beings. But other
you
than
are
that,
back to that breeding thing.
Well, other than that, there wasn't much. You're right. But it became a universal concept in the 1800s. By the 1850s, it was well set in.
Where did Valentine's Day, I mean, as far as commercialized, was it England or was it U.S.?
England first.
England first.
Yeah. But you got to remember that the American population until the 1880s, 1890s, were basically East Coast population.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right. And it wasn't too many then. And even up to World War II, there was only 140 million people here in the United States.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty much different.
Big difference.
That's right. So what do you think about the status of Valentine's Day today? I mean, you know, we hear a lot about Galentine's, girls doing stuff for girls because they want to do something for their friends. It really has changed from that, shall we say, male-female type of holiday to something that is more inclusive.
Well, I think it's lost something. Maybe other people see that it's gained something, but I believe that it's lost something in the intrinsic sentimentality that people seem to have rejected in the last 15 years.
Do you think it's become too commercial?
I think commercialization was part of it, but now it's commercialization ho-hum.
Got the ho-hum commercialization.
Well, it's it's Valentine's Day. I'm supposed to do something. Oh, darn.
Yeah, well, that's true. You're listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. That is the shame of it, isn't it?
Right.
That it's not.
It's not. Whoopee. I'm glad it's here. I've been looking forward to it. I can make my feelings known. Even the kids. I mean, I tried looking up motion Valentine's on the internet, and you don't want to go there. The motion Valentine's that are out there are not the ones like we have back here on this table.
Well, so I'm just wondering, Jeff, since you and I are sitting here in the ho-hum aspect of Valentine's, what's my chances this year, Jeff?
They're always good, Ann. I mean,
intentions run rampant in your mind. Is that
yes.
what you're telling us?
Intentions, I mean, they're right there. I mean, the cruise starts Friday, you know. It's always there, folks.
May not push it across the finish line, but the idea is there, right, Jeff?
Oh, we get 90% of it a lot of times.
That's true. We do. I'll go ahead and say it. I can't imagine spending my life with anybody else but you, Vintager Jeff Eller.
How about Gracie?
Well, Gracie's a given. That's different.
That's dog Valentine's are a big thing this year.
Yes, they are. And the idea of the family Valentine. I mean, you know, people are doing more family time. But I do agree. I think it was nice when it was let's call it a holiday for sweethearts. Let's just say it
that way. One of the things that I think is a tragedy is a lot of schools have outlawed, made rules to where you can't exchange Valentines during school hours.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of changes that have taken away from some of the fun and the sentimentality. That's true. And the Valentine's Day cards, they're just nothing like this. And, of course, things change. And, of course, we're glad that things move on and change. But it is nice to think about the original intent of Valentine's Day. And that's why I am so glad you were able to join us this afternoon right here in the studios here at Sharp Facets Gallery.
It was kind of fun. It's one of those subjects you can look at on and on and on, because the amount of the information out there on it is never ending. And one of the things I love going back to is some of the old advertisements we have for jewelry and chocolates and things back in the 1870s, 1880s, 1900s, especially 1930s during the Depression. Some of those finest sentimentality cards that were ever produced were done.
Wow. Well, this has been neat. Now back to the commercial side. Yes, come see us here at Sharp Facets Gallery if you want to save money and celebrate big. Maybe you've decided a little sentimentality would be good for your sweetie. Come see us here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass right here between South State Bank and Burger King. And if you've got things you'd like to sell, or things you wonder the value and should you or should you not sell, you need to come talk to Jeff Eller, the vintager, right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. That's going to do it for us. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody. That was good.
We got a bunch.